I've been on sabbatical for some discussion. I don't know how at all. And what's interesting to me amongst this movement that some people are talking of as post-secularism, coming together of religious groups and secular groups, is precisely around the legal practice. So set aside beliefs, what's driving people to do things. The question is, what do they do to help? And that seems to me the absolutely fundamental important point. So for me, the motivations don't matter, though often, of course, motivations spill over into how people seek help. And you can think of problems at both ends, I think. So I try to talk about some of the problems coming from the sector end around the very intervention approaches. But equally, we could look to, I think, a very few examples of proselytising Christian response that I personally find very comfortable. And it's certainly something which is commonly in the United States, for example. Very, very active evangelical groups preaching to people. And I don't think that's appropriate. So, for me, the issue is practice, a certain kind of practice, that's what matters. Whether that's religiously inspired or inspired by concerns of, say, social justice, and do all the things I don't see.
Perhaps rather than call it post-secular, we could just pray that it's because they're pre-Christian.
Yes, that's a question and a comment. I fundamentally disagree with Richard. I think we should have respect for each other's beliefs, and I don't think assuming people that they share one's beliefs are free from into enlightenment is actually very helpful, I'm afraid. And goes rather against what will likely bring people together. Another organisation I work with in London is called the Migrants' Rights Network, and an organisation called London Citizens. And London Citizens is an excellent example of post-secular. It's a huge umbrella organisation that seeks to bring together local community organisations all over London, mostly Sydney. But the majority of them Christian, but it also includes mosques, it also includes Hindu temples, it also includes trade unions. Now, the only way in which that organisation can make effective change, they campaign for the living wage, and they won the living wage of Indian workers, for example, is by putting those kinds of beliefs on hold, actually, whilst they do that work. With this lady here, I think the important thing is to work. Now, if that requires you putting a hold on your beliefs and meeting and a panel discussion, I think that's what we do. Although it could be difficult for both parties to do that. But otherwise, it's dangerous. We talk about belief, we're not about action. Now, the reason I'm so enthusiastic about the church's role in the Holy Spirit, I'm not myself perhaps a Christian, is precisely because when I went out researcher without any preconceptions in terms of who was doing what, we simply didn't know. It became immediately clear that it's Christian organisations who are absolutely dominant in their skills and doing the good work. Now, my colleague is deeply Christian, I'm not, and it was very interesting that we both come to the conclusion in the sense of who cares? What matters is what's going on. And it is church that's doing that, which I think is, you know, fantastic, but I would actually, shut off the discussion of belief in that sense.
Bearing in mind what you just said, where would you put your attitude to the Salvation Army? An ashamedly Christian, and yet they do seem to have quite a regard from a wide section of the community.
I think the Salvation Army is an incredibly interesting organisation for all sorts of reasons being regarded in this context. In the UK, the Salvation Army have led the kind of professionalisation of Christian responses to homelessness. and they are leading all sorts of new approaches to, for example, alcohol recovery and drug addiction. So they're right at the forefront of a very professional, high support approach, as well as syndromes and much more on the ground kind of activism. Now, if you look at the secular literature on the Salvation Army, they're held up as Bible bashing, up thumping, fundamentalists, or evangelicals. If you go into Salvation Army services, welfare services, those church services, there's very little, no evidence of that at all. And actually, in the actual welfare organisation end of the Salvation Army, it gains that quiet service rather than prostitution. And what that has enabled them to do, I think, very, very successfully and thankfully, is actually they're beginning to shape the approach of other organisations, non-Christian organisations. They're beginning to get a voice at the table. They have a hard time of it because there is a real reluctance amongst secular organisations and charities to listen to Christian groups in the area. So they didn't push all organisations for funding to that. The Salvation Army, because they're so big, because they're so clearly professional and have been so successful, they are pushing. And one of the things they push is to become a holistic approach to taking the person as they are. Working with them slowly and with the power from pushing and responding to demanding things of them. And long may that continue, because I think they're an excellent organisation for those reasons. But very different players. So if you go to the United States, maybe the Salvation Army, local chapter Salvation Army, a rather unsettling place, to be honest. It's very much about conversion that will feed you if you convert. Not the approach they can at all.
Can I ask, does your research indicate any beginning or growing or interest from other faith groups in this area? And if so, can you sketch in what kind of interest or what kind of action?
Incredibly difficult. It's very interesting. Incredibly difficult. Now, I'm not sure whether that's because people haven't looked at our one. But in our work, we do national surveys, so we're trying to find every synchron, every day centre, and every hospital in England outside of the government. One of them was anything other than secular or Christian. I've got a kind of gut feeling that in some of where I work, there are similar services around, say, food aid in the Islamic community in Islamic. But one of the differences, I think, especially among Muslim communities, is for example, extended family, so a much stronger extended family. And whilst there may be forms of very severe overcrowding, say, in housing, street homelessness is much less common amongst British born immigrant communities or communities being for a long time. There's occasional exceptions. There's a Jewish day centre in North London, but my sense is it's very rare.
Can you see people down to Gray's End?
Right.
Does a woman offer food to anybody?
Right, absolutely. As I said, I haven't come across these things, but I think it's fairly limited in my sense.
My understanding would be the new secret noir in Leamington again offers free food to anybody who goes there, whether it's taken up by people who are foods or on the street, I don't know, but certainly that's my understanding of the secret tradition.
Can't hang, you can say, well, help me here.
think, you know, given the subject of God, it's so interesting, isn't it, when you look at, general public responses and understanding things. They're very limited. So, people on the street are enormously signified. And they signify whether they're, for example, using drugs or not, because everyone assumes they are, and drug users are signified by them. The exception, every Christmas, there's the gold leather shell story, the news they're talking about the land, and for about 2 weeks, everyone feels terribly generous towards people sleeping off. And then after Christmas, then there'll be a new campaign by shelter or government saying they can debate this and go backwards again. It is very, very complicated, and it's very interesting seeing how game sector organisations change their position on it. So, 20 years ago, when almost nothing was available, and we had thousands of people sitting up in central London in the 1990s. Groups like Shelter, crisis was very vocal, very vocal about the needs of our leaders. As the kind of government response became a bit more aggressive, they backed away a bit. And what they began to concentrate was things like independence and friends and families, easier groups to engender sympathy for. And it is often traditional relations that have just remained there on the ground. So, how do you deal with that? I don't know, other than you keep sending a message that is non signifying in everything you can, one story in relation to paper about something you've done, but as a racial group, and why you've done it. And I think don't try and set up these distinctions about begging, about drug use, about all the multiple morals that have been led into. Personally, I have more problems with that than all the responses that I've talked about. But I think anything you do around those ones feeds that stigma. So, or you could be secretly. You could raise money to help them as families. And homeless people are unspecified, and you can choose it. Use that money on certain groups if you think that's their personality. But homeless families need a huge amount of support. I mean, people vote on the streets, but let's not forget the majority of homeless people are homeless families. There are 150,000 people at the moment, a few younger sectors, but some of those accepted. 2/3 of them are children. So, if there are things that the community finds more acceptable to help, well, let's get some help into those poor families living in temporary accommodation. They're not in D&Ds very much anymore. They're in pretty awful temporary flats, some of which are very unsafe for children. Children get shunted from pillar to post, and then in schools, they get shunted around by the local council. Let's get some help into those guys. I've got that figure, but I think it is about that because to be accepted, almost anyone who's accepted because they have to be children under 16 or are pregnant, very few other groups make it through the assessment of council. So you could look up Googling, look at the crisis website, an excellent source of very upset. Think about this at two levels, and there are immediate responses that enabled us on some people to work better through participation and public sector alliances. I think that's the most remarkable form of these things in development and continuing to grow. But the longer term response is what's needed to stop people getting into that situation. And at the moment, the single most important thing we can do is to oppose the cuts to health sector, because that is going to have a devastating effect. It's going to be much worse in London and in Brighton and Ireland, because the housing is so much more expensive. I don't know what the housing in London are getting for it, for example. But if you want to, think about preventing homelessness, now, in these months, you need to campaign against the housing benefit reform, because it will be a disaster. Session plans.
Would you come back on that?
No.
All I wanted to point out is that one of the things you're going to come into the Salvation Army to come and talk. But what they're doing in Leamington, he's set up a training scheme. So he's training people in agriculture to manage everything. Kind of thing.
No, that's right. I mean, that's the kind of, I've used that phrase, jargon phrase, life skills, in my talk. And that's what day centers mean when they're. So they'll help people do things like budgets. Because I've had real problems with that. It may be something very simple about emergency. So those kinds of basic life skills are absolutely essential. Now, they've been a good byproduct of this push towards higher support, but that's not something for me that should be forced upon people. It's something that's an opportunity that should be available to all people. And groups like the Salvation Army, also other umbrella groups, My Housing Justice, do train volunteers. So you can, if you have a local group of volunteers, you can send people who ask them to come and train you. Either very cheaply or free, through some of these big homeless umbrella organisations. And I think that's excellent. That's really
Can I ask you where the picture that you painted this evening, or how that relates to kind of ideas of a mass that floats around the notion of the big society? Are there connections? Are there links?
I'm enormously cynical about big society. I'm sure you can tell me where this is possible. The big society is simply the repackaging of the third way without funding. That's all the big society is. Big society is a foisting of responsibility onto individuals, communities, and voluntary organisations, whilst at the same time slashing material resources to do that work. And we've seen that, as I said, 25% of, I could go back to my figures, but you are 25% of members of charities who have been funding it up since 2010. And these voluntary organisations who are apparently kind of big society. So what are they doing? They're taking the resources away from that for the moment when they're most needed. What we're doing is that they can be happy. Big society.
Time for one more question. Anybody got something?
Friends of mine have been watching, and it's usually dismissive. celebrity. And I'm not sure they get beyond that. I think they focus on the, are these people genuine, rather than the problem of that socially raising awareness. I don't know. It's certainly not going to become Cathy Mahomes once back in the 60s, which was so important. So I don't know. It'd be great.
I was surprised that I wasn't appalled by it. They actually, some of them didn't seem genuinely concerned. Some of them had a very realistic approach, and when they got to the end, they said, well, there is nothing. This person has got so abused to this kind of life that nothing is going to change it. And they came over as being appalled by that. But the society would have got to that stage when someone couldn't stop.
The programs I remember as being effective for me personally were the kind of Michael McIntyre investigations in the 90s, which is where they had a hidden camera and he was holding, and he kind of tried to find his way through the system on the street. So what is it like to try and find where the hospital is and check in? What do you go through with that? How do you go and try and make it happen in the place that you have to do to the hospital? And it really showed up kind of, you know, Byzantine labyrinth of bureaucracy that people have to try and negotiate. And I found it very helpful because it moved it away from these people are unhelpful to why is the system itself doing so badly, making it so difficult for them. And I think that's really important because the danger of those kinds of celebrity programs is this is kind of despair at people who apparently are beyond help. And we have to remember that one of those very entrenched people in the streets may well not be beyond help. If they're beyond that kind of intensity level, then what do they need? So you can have those innovative approaches. A shelter opened, the first one in the 1990s, called a wet shelter. And this is simply Islamic Problems, right? Again, the Christian organization. And their approach is very simple. They say, some street victims will never give up. They'll never stop. And we either have a choice of saying, you can't drink in one hospital, what most organizations do, and leave them out to die eventually. Or we say, okay, you know what? Why don't you just come in here and keep it safe? I think we need to monitor your health. And you can control some of your insane, and we accept that you're probably going to die here. Now that seems to me the most sensible approach of that kind of very, very, very vulnerable group. And what we have to remember is they're the minority. So even amongst those on the streets, people with those kinds of needs are the minority, and that's only something of 100,000 families now, or people maybe with that who are currently in the homeless system. So to focus on, constantly focus on, it's not helpful, I don't think. Well, that's one of the worries about that problem.
A further comment. I didn't get a feeling that that was a problem.
Right, I'm sorry. But go back to my player, not the way.
John, thank you very much indeed for your time this evening and for your input both in your address and taking questions afterwards. You've painted a very, as I said earlier, challenging picture of homelessness in our society today, but you have also opened up, I think, a window for many people here on the role that church groups, Christian groups are doing in this field. And it does kind of really anchor some of the reflections that we've been having about the role of religion in the public square, in society, in very real and concrete needs. So thank you very much indeed for coming along and sharing the fruits of your research with us this evening. And I think we would just express our thanks.
Yeah, it's not so long, but I've been working for about 15 minutes.
And next week we have Bishop Michael Nassim Ali, a former Bishop of Rochester.